The hailing frequencies are open because this is GHL Extra and I am Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson, but you already knew that because you're beautiful, sexy people who support us here on Patreon.
Patreon. You know, this is the one where I can actually sing Diamonds Are Forever, the full version.
If you're not a James Bond person, you've never heard that song. It is worth
a lot of our people are not
giving a listen.
A lot of our fans don't like James Bond, and that.
Well, that's fine because everyone's opinion is fine.
That makes me sad.
Yeah,
well, it's fine.
More for you and me, honestly.
I fully live, you know, because I know that diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me. They can stimulate and tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me. Diamonds are forever.
Well, if it's James Bond, he will.
Fun fact, go Google the lyrics. They were trying to write the song, and Bassey could not quite get the tone of the song. The person that wrote it said, "It's a penis."
Yep.
Substitute diamonds for penis. And then when you read those lyrics again, you get it.
And you just illustrated what people don't like about James Bond.
It's
a great song, though. It's a great song.
Speaking of a character of the opposite sex that's just as problematic as James Bond, let's talk about Emma Frost. We asked you for a bunch of questions over on the Patreon, and now we're going to, Ashley's alarm is going to tell us that we need to answer these.
It says more Emma Frost talk, less James Bond talk.
Do you want to take the first one?
The first question is from Grayson Hager, who says, "We know Emma Frost is known for her fashion and numerous outfits. Do y'all have a favorite Emma Frost outfit?"
Yeah, easy.
Which one?
It's the Astonishing X-Men one. It's the John Cassidy one because it gives her a halter top. You can see her midriff, but it gives her like this cool cape over her shoulders. Mm. And it's
kind of become the classic Emma
and
costume.
And it gives her pants.
Yeah.
Because there's too many Emma Frost costumes where she's in her panties and it's kind of like, you're wearing lingerie. Mm-hmm. Like even her new X-Men one, which has like the Frank Quitely where like it's an X, but
yeah,
like
yeah.
You're like, how are your boobs not falling out of that thing?
Yeah.
I think they actually just made an action figure of it in Marvel Legends. I'm pretty certain they did. I don't own an Emma Frost action figure.
I don't either.
I'm pretty certain they did because I think they did
a bunch of Kitty Pryde ones.
I'm pretty certain they did the Astonishing X-Men Cyclops and they did the Emma in her outfit. So that's my favorite. What's your favorite outfit?
My favorite outfit in terms of like, this is my superhero costume. I have a photo of it. To show you. I do believe this is like one of her early OG outfits because it's basically just the Storm white bodysuit.
That is her costume during Generation X.
I love this costume.
That is Generation X.
Because it actually functions. I don't like it when her titties are out and I don't like it when her tummy's out.
Yeah, it's a Black Widow. Except it's white in an X-Men belt.
So the Hellfire Gala just came out and the Hellfire Gala.
Did she get a new outfit for that one too?
She has several outfits for the Hellfire Gala. I'm trying to go back to when I had the image shown. Okay, so this, I'm going to show it to Jason.
Please.
She's in the middle there. I think that's a fantastic outfit.
Oh, and her ice outfit.
But
yeah.
It's not a costume.
She has a cape. Well, that's the problem, because aren't they doing that with Captain Marvel now? They're making her Hellfire Gala. You can turn around.
Yeah.
They're making her, in the Hellfire Gala, they're fancy outfits.
Yes, and I really do like her Hellfire Gala outfit. I think it's beautiful,
I had a problem with the Captain Marvel one, because it's a great design for a fancy event, but it has all these tassels.
Yeah.
And I think my first thing I was like, well, when she's flying at super speed, those tassels are going to bat her in the eye.
You have to assume, in my opinion, that the Hellfire Gala outfits will only... be there. It's like going to the Met Gala, right? Like that's obviously what they're trying to evoke.
Well, not at Marvel. Marvel's doing a lot of
Marvel also did War of the Atom and Trial of Jean Grey, and those don't live in my head canon either.
Look, so. I'm just gonna say, like, at the time of this recording, I saw on two different websites yesterday the article, because the new solicitations came out or whatever.
Yeah, previews just dropped.
I saw two articles on two different websites, literally titled "What's the problem with Marvel Comics right now?" Or why is Marvel Comics broken right now?
I can tell you it's because nobody cares what's happening there.
And yeah, and these
it's
are
editorial.
These are decent. Like, they're not like clickbait sites. They are like legitimate journalistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oof, that is rough. If that's
Yeah, I'll say this candidly for our patrons. I think the big two is not.
They're not functioning right now.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed that question. Thank
Next
you, Grayson.
Question. Adam Grunther says, do you think Emma Frost works better as a member/ally of the X-Men or as an enemy to them as a member of the Hellfire Club with Sebastian Shaw? Well, I think we know your answer, Ashley.
Yeah, I just like her as like a big, scary business lady.
I I really like her as like the headmistress of a sort of spinoff team. I like her as a Generation X. Like, I like there is a title. I don't know if it still exists, but they did a title recently called Hellions. And I would kind of just be like, make that Emma Frost team.
I would be fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I have a hard time with her kind of as like a big five or big six member of the main core X-Men team.
Yeah.
But I get the fun in having her play in that universe. And I've gotten the most joy out of Emma Frost that I've ever had in a Hawks post-Hawkspox universe. Like, mm-hmm. I like her on that ruling council. I think that's interesting.
Well, it's interesting because, like, when you think about it, and I hate to say this, like, when it's an inherent problem in comic books.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of strong female characters that can hold their own against like a Magneto or an X-Men, and she definitely can.
Well, yes, and I will.
And I think that's why she's risen to power.
I will say this: it's sort of the problem of having a lot of characters who have been exclusively written by men for a really, really long time, who are more interested in portraying sex and sexuality, which does have a place in comics and does have a place in superhero comics, and is something that is interesting about Emma Frost, instead of building actual characters.
You definitely should take Ryan Reigns, who's a great patron.
I really appreciate Ryan's comments.
And he's got a great comment on Emma Frost. Please take that away, Ashley.
Ryan Reigns says, "My queen!" Also a bunch of exclamation points. Emma's a very important character to me. She's unapologetic in her sexuality and bold in her gender presentation, which is inspiring to me as a queer person who does drag. I know that on the surface, this can rub people the wrong way or cause people to not like her. Is there something about her more under the surface that you find endearing about her or that makes you appreciate her place as a power player in the franchise? For me, it's her unbridled love and commitment to educating the mutant children and making sure the children have a thriving species to inherit. Thank you both.
And then he put diamond and heart.
And a white heart emoji. Yeah. Yes. And I think I really appreciate Ryan's comments because it exemplifies what works about Emma for readers. So Jason, is there something about her that you appreciate about her as like a power player?
I appreciate that she doesn't give up. Mm-hmm. She is a character that has faced her school basically being like, you know, the Hellions were killed. Generation X falls down. Genosha blows up. And she's still as powerful and as confident as ever. Like, she might be the best X-Man poster child for Don't Give Up.
Interesting.
And part of that might play into Ryan's comment, which I hadn't thought about, the idea that she's unapologetic in her sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I might say that she's unapologetic in everything she does.
Yeah, that actually might be her real power.
Which also leads to the idea that she's confident in wearing these lingerie in very professional business settings.
But he makes this smart observation as well, where it's like that can rub people the wrong way. And like that is something that I've sort of been examining about, like, is that what I don't like about.
What were you going to say before I interrupt you? I apologize.
The character.
That I always say something.
Jason always says about writing characters that characters always have a superpower and it's not literal. I think we've talked about some podcasts before, but like maybe Emma's superpower is that she is like super unapologetic.
Yeah, I could. That makes her a great character.
And bold and everything that she does. What I really like about her, and I think it's why I like her as like a business bitch, is the idea that
I never thought about that either.
She doesn't.
A business bitch.
She doesn't need anybody.
No, she doesn't.
And
she doesn't even need the X-Men.
She doesn't.
She can form her own team. She's done it before.
And I think that's why I don't really want her on the X-Men, and why I'm more interested in, like, I would be more interested in reading a book about Emma Frost where she just is just like a globetrotter doing whatever she needs.
Sure.
Maybe I think she's pulled down by the X-Men. That's something I need to think about.
You need to work that out when you're opening up your call maps.
With my better help therapist.
Brian J says, who is a better scene partner for Emma, Cyclops or Kitty Pryde? I think it's Cyclops.
And he specifically says Kate Pryde because post Marauder, she's trying to go by Kate.
Oh, instead of Kitty?
Sorry.
She'll always be Kitty Pryde to me. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I get it, but like,
she's Sprite, damn it. Sprite.
LOL.
Not Shadow Cat.
I actually think my favorite scene partner for Emma is Magneto.
Oh,
is Eric.
Can you remember? And you don't have to remember specifically. Is there a Magneto her scene?
They have a lot. Or in early House of X, Powers of X, before the sort of plot of the ruling council unspools, there's a lot of scenes with the two of them.
Before too many swords and tarot cards get involved?
Yeah. Before it kind of falls apart. Where there's a lot of scenes between the two of them, or the two of them and then Xavier. And it's very Shakespearean in the way that, like, they stand as co-conspirators, and I like that about them. And they are enemies, but they're also allies. I find their scenes together really fun from, like, a verbal sparring standpoint.
We have a great question from Will here that I think you should take.
We can all agree that Professor X is a horrible teacher.
Correct. I mean,
yes. But other than being very questionably dressed, Emma is a caring teacher. If she is placed on a normal school with regular humans, mutants, and other superpowered teenager, what class does she take? Also, do you think there is room for a comic that is a high school slice of life in the Marvel Comics universe?
Can I take your second question? The answer to the second question is no. There is not room for a comic that is a high school slice of life, because if there was, they would have already made it. It's the same as, like, we say that there should be a Daily Planet, there should be a GCPD, and those companies are obviously... I think you need something more than just normal high school.
I think what we're pushing up against in this is the idea of slice of life. Like, mm-hmm. I don't read Marvel Comics for slice of life. Mm-hmm. I read Marvel Comics for superheroes. The closest thing that I think could touch that would be Runaways.
Yeah.
And I do think Runaways are cool enough to carry their
That's
own
That's why I
book.
Say you got to jazz it up by banking it either the Daily Planet or GCPD.
Because, like, every other publisher does slice of life better than DC and Marvel.
She teaches business.
Yeah.
That's what she teaches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She teaches, like, business 101.
Yeah.
Like, the intro to business.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. 100%.
Kiefer Folsom says, "Hi, Professor. So excited to see an Emma Frost episode in the works. One of the aspects about Emma I find most unique is how her turn from villain to hero over time is because of events that happened during her life that involved the loss of her students."
And then he cites everything that Jason
the
talked
death
about
of in the episode. But my question is about a moment that happened to her during Devil's Reign by Jerry Duggan, which I did not read. In it, it's revealed in a flashback during her Hellfire Club days that she had an encounter with black suit Spider-Man. And when she scanned Spider-Man's mind, she was astonished to learn his true identity and what he'd been through before remarking he was just a boy and thanking him for all he's done. I was just curious about what you had thought about it. It's so funny, Kiefer. I have seen this moment clipped out, and mm-hmm. I did not realize this was Devil's Reign, and I kind of liked it because I kind of like everybody in the Marvel Universe already having sympathy for Peter Parker.
This illustrates why I don't think the X-Men should be in the larger Marvel Comics universe.
Kiefer says, "Personally, I like to think that this was something that helped guide Emma to start helping others, as well as what an impact Spider-Man can have on others."
How are you going to know that Spider-Man is not a mutant? Like, this just unspools everything I don't like about these characters talking to
each
other.
Well, it's funny. It's funny. Kiefer's final statement here to me is just the perfect thing to what we've always been saying, where it's like, make your own continuity.
Yeah.
If you like to think that Spider, and that's a great moment. I've seen this clipped out. For me, it doesn't influence Emma that much because it's a one-off.
Yeah.
If she kept seeing Spider-Man for like a year, then I would be like, okay. But she sees him once, so I don't think it impacts her much. But Kiefer, if this is a very impactful moment to you for that transformation for Emma, then I think keep it, go with it, and don't let anybody tell you different.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go. I think that might be the last
question.
Those
are all the Emma questions that we got.
Yeah, I'm glad we ended on a softy question.
Yeah, a sweet question.
So Ashley, what do you think of Island's hamburgers? Let's go.
I think they're trash.
That's a correct take.
I've eaten at Islands exactly one time, and it was bad. I'm sorry if anyone works there. It's not your fault.
No. If you like
it's
Islands.
It's the microwave's
that's
fault.
That's fine. If you like the tiki tenders at Islands, more for you.
Ugh.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for your support on Patreon. I'm just going to remind you again real quick. If you use Spotify, if you use the Spotify app, all you have to do is you have to do it on your side. We cannot do it. You have to connect your Patreon account to Spotify, and the Geekish Rosen Patreon feed will be in your Spotify app, which I think is really cool. Mm-hmm. Also, again, we found out that you can review the episodes on Spotify and personally review each specific episode. And I'm publishing those comments as I see them. So go over there if you're using Spotify. From the numbers that I see, we don't really have a large listener base on Spotify. It's still Apple is the biggest one, but Spotify is number two.
There you go.
Spotify's number two. Should be Overcast number two. That's the one I like the best.
Oh, I like the Overcast app a lot.
We do. We're big Overcast app. Overcasterians.
Yeah.
Why am I talking so quiet?
That's a great question. You don't want Apple Podcasts to hear you.
I don't. Hey, Apple, don't worry about this. But Spotify users, go use it. Go do it. It's sensual. Like the White Queen. Anything to add to that, Ashley?
No.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Ashley has nothing else to say.
I am a woman on the internet. I am not treading into sensuality.
I am Jason in the...
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And enjoy Islands at your own peril.
Yeah,
or do.
Really.
Bye.
Bye.